We'll start the Mishnah now on Daf Yud Gimel on the base. This Mishnah is connected to the previous Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, because there we learned about certain gzeros, like for example, Oyifles Kalev, that he's not allowed to, you know, check out his kalim to look for little bugs and so forth and so on. He's not allowed to read Or Haner. And this Mishnah that we're about to embark upon now is going to get into a little bit of the background when exactly they made these gzeros. V'elu, which means those gzeros that were formulated in the previous Mishnah, min ha'alochos sha'omru ba'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkia ben Goron sha'olu levakro. So the history is that the Chachmi Yisrael went to visit one of the greats of that generation by the name of Chananya ben Chizkia ben Goron, and they went up to his attic. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly why they sat together with Chananya ben Chizkia up in his attic. And amongst those who came to visit him on that occasion were the Talmidim Beit Shammai and Talmidim Beis Hillel. And at that moment in time, a great debate broke out between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding 18 different things. Nimnu, and they took a vote. Verabu Beit Shammai al Beis Hillel. This is one of the rare occasions where the Psak is like Beit Shammai against Beis Hillel, because at that particular point, Rabu Talmidim shall Beit Shammai al Talmidim shall Beis Hillel. They had the rov. And as a result, Shmonasar Dvarim Gozru, the following 18 things they institute as an injunction, as a gzera. And this was what we call an enactment of a Siag LaTorah, Bo Bayom, on that particular day. And they paskin the halacha like Beit Shammai. And then, through this counting, this vote, they were kover the halacha like Beit Shammai. And the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos adds a few words. He says, Lefisha lo hoya bi'os ador misha hu roi lo hora shalo nimna imoyim bi'oso mamad. Anyone who was on the level of hora was there at that particular moment. And that's when they paskin halacha like Beit Shammai. And two of the gzeros we've already had out of the 18, and those were recorded in the previous Mishnah, back on Daf Yud Aleph, Shlo Yifla Kalev, Vlo Yikra Lior Haner. Those were two. Now, this is going to be what I'm presenting you is the Maskona here, that the word that opens our Mishnah, which is V'elu. V'elu means in addition to the ones, like the Vav is Mosif Halinyan Rishon. That's one interpretation of our Mishnah, which we're presenting now. The Gemara is going to present another alternative. And if it's Mosif Halinyan Rishon, means that when our Mishnah mentions Yud Ches Dvarim Shegazru Bo Bayom, You may be missing two, but don't be worried about that, because the two that you're missing are in the previous Mishnah. And this Vav Mosif is adding to what we already have in the previous Mishnah. So in addition to those two gzeros, if you just want to take a quick peek back on Daf Yud Aleph, you'll see that the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph has two gzeros. Let me just turn back very quickly to the Mishnah. Where is it? Okay, here on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, you'll see that towards the end of the Mishnah, on the third line, it says, Lo Yifla Es Kalev. or lo yafala actually is the better pronunciation, as Kalev, and in which case he's flicking bugs or checking for bugs on his begodim, on his clothing, and lo yikra li'or haner. Those are the two gzeres that were established up in the aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiah. Okay, now we get to the suffek in the Gemara itself as to what the Mishnah is referring to here. In other words, when the Mishnah speaks about these halachos that were established in the Aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiah, the Gemara is going to clarify which halachos are we referring to. And are we including the first two gzeros that are formulated in the previous Mishnah or not? Amale Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Abaye asked the following question to Rav Yosef. Elu tnan o ve'elu tnan. What's the correct girsa in the Mishnah? Do you start with the Vav or do you leave out the Vav? And now the Gemara analyzes it. So again, the suffix is elutnan or ve'elutnan. So Abai now is going to clarify what's the difference between these two girsos, with a vav or without a vav. The elutnan, if you have the vav, then hanida moron, in other words, those two that we already have in the previous Mishnah, of Leipola, Kalev, Leikra, Loraner, and now we're adding others, but those are included in this Mishnah of 18. O Elutnan, or should we leave out the Vav? Deba'inan l'meimar l'kamon. And in other words, in the Mishnayos that are coming around the bend, the future Mishnayos, that begin with on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, Ein Sharon Dio, we didn't get to that yet, but those Mishnayos are going to codify and enumerate those gzeros which are included in our Mishnah. But the previous gzeros, whenever they were enacted, we don't know exactly when, but it did not take place in the Aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiah. So according to the second side of the Gemara, the Ritva says, Lo yisparshu divrei ha-Mishnah she'elu halachas ha-muvaros lehalon v'mishnah mishmona es asar ha-gzeros ha-gemara mona lehalon shmona esrei gzeros acheros el yisparei she'elu hein min halachos she'nechleku beitcham ve'silvi omdu aleim leminyan Ushmonasre gzeros achiros gozu bi oso hayom. So let's see if we can take a shot at this ritva to try to see what he's saying over here. So again, if we have the elu, let's go over what we do know. We know that if we have the vav, then vav is mosif al inyan rishon, and we have a principle that says kol makom shenemer ve'ela, and that appears many times in the Torah, is mosif al harishonim. That would be ve'ela tanan. V'chol makom shenemer ela, then pasal es rishon, meaning it's to the exclusion of anything that came before it. Okay, fine. So I understood that the issue here between Ve'elu and Elu has to do with the previous Mishnah, where that previous Mishnah with the two Gzeros at the end of the Mishnah that we saw, where that's included in this Mishnah of the 18th Dvarim of Beisil Beit Shammai. And that would be Ve'elu with the Vav. But now let's look at the Ritva. The Ritva says, and he's explaining this side of the Gemara that says Elu, leaving out the Vav. He says, Lefit Sad Zebigamara, Lo Yisparshu Divrei HaMishnah, She'elu HaLochos Hamuvu Oros Lahalon Bamishna Heim Mishmonesrei Agzeros. And the language of the Ritva is a little bit confusing to me. He says, Lo Yisparshu Divrei HaMishnah. She'elu Alochas HaMavaros Lahalon B'Mishnah Heim Mishmonesrei Agzeros. It sounds like he's saying that if you have Elu, then there's going to be 18 Gzeros. I'm going to read it one more time. I apologize, but the language is kind of ambiguous to me. Lo yisparshu divrei haMishnah she'elu alochos hamavuoros. He says it in a negative way. She'elu alochos hamuvos lahalon baMishnah hei mishmon esrei gzeros. I think what he's saying, the Ritva, is that there were 18 gzeros which are not recorded in the Mishnah. Maybe we'll get it from the Braisa, but they're not recorded in the Mishnah. And even those gzeros, like we said, the Mishnah later on is going to say in Sharnes Adio, even those are not included in the 18. I think that's what he's saying, the Ritva. So I say it with limited liability. He says, Shagrei HaGemara mona lahalon shmona se gzeros. The Gemara is going to count 18 zeros, again based on Brisos, and those are the 18 that our Mishnah is referring to, and those are the ones that came up in a debate between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, and they were Omid B'Minyan. Elu so Ushmonesrei zeros. In any event, I think what the Ritva is saying here, if I'm not mistaken, is that whatever gzeros we see in the Mishnah, if you hold the Elu, are not the 18 gzeros that are referred to in our Mishnah. Because the word Elu indicates that this Mishnah is a separate entity.
This Mishnah, right.
Our Mishnah here, referring to 18, is a closed, sealed pot, you know, saying it's a pocket that's enclosed. There are other gzeros that you'll see in the previous Mishnah, in the next Mishnah, but that's not the 18. Whereas if you have the Vav, which already indicates that amongst the 18 indicated in our Mishnah, you already have two that were recorded in the previous Mishnah, then it makes sense to say that any gzeros that are recorded in subsequent Mishnayos in this same parak are also included in the 18. So then, instead of having a closed, sealed Mishnah, which has these 18, nothing before, nothing after is included in the 18, on the contrary, it's an open Mishnah, ve'elu, and it's including the gzeros that are mentioned in the other Mishnayos. However, again, I say this with great trepidation, because if you read the Gemara, let's go back to our Gemara. It says, "O Elu Tanan, Dibaina Lameimer Lekamon." So those words of Dibaina Lameimer Lekamon seem to indicate that we will have the 18 in the Mishnah itself. So I don't know, this Ritva is still up in the air. Maybe I could borrow your... Do you have a translation there?
Yes,
let me borrow this, Jerry. I'll give it right back. I'm not trying to steal it.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, let's just see. We're looking for 13b. I'll just see if his translation by chance would shed a light here. He says the following. Abai asked Rabbi Yosef, have we learned in our Mishnah these are the laws, or and these are the laws?
So far so good.
Okay, so far so good. The Elu Tanan, have we learned and these are the laws? Hani Damaron, if so, then it refers to those that we have stated above in the previous Mishnah. And in the footnote, he writes that with the conjunction of the Vav, the and, The meaning of the Mishnah is that the aforementioned, and I guess he means the previous mentioned, are of the laws that were stated, I guess he means that were decided upon in the upper chamber of Hananya. In other words, some of the laws mentioned in the previous Mishnah, for example, the prohibition against delousing garments or reading by the light of a lamp, are part of the 18 enactments that they legislated on that occasion in the upper chamber of Chizkiya. So far, everything that he's saying here is what we said. But now we get to Elu Tanan. Now let's see what Elu Tanan is. He says, these are the laws without the conjunction Vav. Deba'ina l'mimah kamon. If so, then it then refers to those laws that we are about to state below in the next Mishnah. Okay, all that is what we saw, what we thought before the Ritva. So then the Mishnah means that the following are the laws. Consequently, the laws in the next Mishnah, when we not soak ink, right, that was Shornes Adyo, are part of the 18 enactments. So the difference between the pronoun these, I guess he means without the Vav, whether it's used in conjunction with the Vav or without, finds expression in a Medrash. Oh, okay. Kol makom shenemar elo. Okay, so he's totally oblivious of this Ritva, which is, that's okay. You know, he doesn't have to be aware of the Ritva. I'm just saying that the Ritva seems to have a slightly different twist to the second side. That says Elu, because then he's saying Lo Yisparshu Divrei HaMishnah. We're not going to interpret the Mishnah if we leave out the Vav. She Elu Halachos Hamavu Aros LaHalon BeMishnah, which I think he's referring to the next Mishnah. He uses the word LaHalon Hey Mishmones VeGzeros. That's not the way we learned the Gemara. Shari HaGemara Mone LaHalon Shmones VeGzeros Achiros. The Gemara is going to calculate 18, and that enumeration of 18 does not include the gzeros that are formulated in the later Mishnayos. Elias Yisparsha Elu Hein Min Alochos Shenechlechu Beit Sham Beit Silviom Dolem Leminu Shmones Rei Gzeros Acheros. Now here I get lost. He says Shmones Rei Gzeros Acheros Gozru Bi'Osoyom. Unless the word Acheros means that are not included in the Mishnah, I don't know. Anyway, for some reason, the Masifta makes a big deal about this Ritva. I can look just in one last place. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we are pressed for time. But just to see if by chance it becomes a little clearer if Bechlal he has this Ritva in the Yalkut Biurim. We are on now Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Am I correct? Okay. He says here. He says here the following. Im korsim b'mishnah v'elu hakavona l'dvarim sheshanina b'mishnah kodemes hayim halacha shel ein folin v'ein korin l'ranei v'im agir s'mishni elu hakavona l'dvarim shenishna b'mishnah yisavos. So that's what we saw in Rashi, and that's the way we interpret it. Hainu hadinim amufam l'halon shen sharen t'yov v'samonim karshinim el kidei sheyishu v'yafan masika gemar shagir si v'elu hadvarim murim Al halacha shashanir b'mishnah kodemes, and Tosus writes that that's also the gears of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, I'm just looking to see if he has here. Okay, now lefi atzad elu tanan ein ze mechlal yud chesvam shegozru aleihem. Rashi bir shigarsim elu. If you have the gears of elu, hadvarim holchem al shenuim lehalon vakavanu lemishnah lehalon ein shorin diomer of Shabbos etc. Vehikshar ritva shimkain Hare Yesh Yoser Mishmonesre Dovar. If you're going to calculate also those Xeris that are included in the next Mishnah, the number is going to rise above 18. Shagam below Dinam Elu, even without the Mishnah, I think, Yeshnam Shmonesre Xeris Amenuim Lahalon. V'tireit shalafit tzad ze shadvom nemru ba'liyas shenemru ba'liyas chanani ben chizke heim advorim mea mishno de lahalon ein ze mechlal advorim shegozru aleihem bo bayom eleheim dvorim shaleihem nechleku v'nimnu. In other words, I think he's saying the Ritva that there are two countings. There's one counting that is Dvarm Shenemru Balias Chananya, etc. And then there's another counting of 18, which were not included in the Bo Bayom of Alias Chananya, but there are other issues or Xeros that about which there were debates, there were machlokasin, and about which they voted to come to final conclusion. So what I think I understand him from the Ritva is that there are two different countings. There's the countings of what we call Dvarim Shenigzru Aleihem Bo Bayom, and then there's something which is called Dvarim Shenemru Balias Chananya, and the Dvarim Shenemru Balias Chananya include, if you hold the Eilat and not include the Dvarim that are mentioned in the next Mishnah, but that's not the same thing as Dvarim Shegozru Aleihem Bo Bayom. So the Mishnayis are going to calculate what took place in the Aliyas Chananya ben Chizkia, about which there was a great machlokas, and then they were omed l'minyan. But there's another accounting of 18 zeros, which apparently, if I understand the Ritva correctly, were not part of this machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. And maybe that's the separate counting of 18 that we're going to have. Okay, it's a little bit ambiguous, and it needs a lot more work. Anyway, Toshma. So now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and based on this Braisa, the Gemara wants to come to some conclusion about whether it's Ve'elu or Elu. And it says the following in the Braisa: Ein Polin Li'or Haner, Ve'en Korin Li'or Haner, Ve'elu Min Halochos Sha'omru Balias Chananya Ben Chizkia Ben Goron. So that the Elu Min Halachos, I guess these two are included in those Halachos that they debated and they concluded in Alias Chananya. And he writes here, again, adding a little bit from Tosus Dimyam Asl Shmamino, he says that Lo Shaninu Li Achar Mikan Bebraisa Dvarim Acherim Kimosh Shaninu B'Mishnah. Once again, it's a little bit ambiguous, but he's saying that we don't have afterwards in this Braisa that we're learning a list of Dvarim Acherim. Ishmamino of the Elutnan Valkain Hadover Misparish Almashaninu Li El Shane Polo Vein Korin Lorshev Avaldinim Ashnuim Vimishnais the Kamok Gon Ein Shandio Eno Mishmonis Hadvarim. Oh. You see, I thought that if you have the Elutnan, then you're opening up from both sides. He's saying no. That if you have the Elu, then you are including in our Mishnah, the 18th from the previous Mishnah of Ein Pol and Ein Korin, but not the Mishnayos later on, like Ein Shon and Dio. That's not included in the 18 Dvarim. Shema Mino, the Gemara comes to that conclusion. So the implication that you get from this is that if you had Elu Tanan, you would exclude the two in the previous Mishnah, but maybe you would include the next Mishnah. And that would be apparently the approach of Rashi and Tosfos, but the Ritva has a different approach. And he's saying that Elu implies that there are two different countings. There's one counting of 18 Dvarim, and there's another counting of those decisions that were made at the point of the Machlokas in Aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya. But let's leave the Ritva out for a moment. If we're going to take this shot of the Elu, and the Gemara concludes the Elu Tanan, we're going to include the previous Mishnah of Ein Pol and Ein Korim, but we're not going to include the dinim of Ein Shor and Dio, which are formulated in the next Mishnah. That's what seems to be the maskana here. Let me just see. He has here something from Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's just see if I can find this here. Now, there's another Isser that's mentioned in the Mishnah back on Yud Aleph of Lo Yochal Zov and Azova. And it would seem that even that din might be included in the Shmona Asrei Dvarim. That's also a possibility, which would expand the numbers. So there's some girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel, which I'm not finding right this minute. Oh, maybe it's here. He says in Rabbeinu Chananel, if it's Elu, without the Vav, then who misparish al masha marnu li el, v'im kosev ve'elu misparish masha sidim lomar lahalon. Wow. So according to Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa, the Elu means that we're including the previous Mishnah, and Ve'elu means we're only including the next Mishnah, what's coming down the line. So that's just another, a whole other take on what's going on. Okay. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Mikos of Megillas Tainis. Right, there's a Braisa that is called Megillas Tainis that enumerates all the yontivs that Rachamim were kovei because of different miracles that happened that transpired for the Jewish community, and you're not allowed to fast on those calendar dates. And also, there's an Easter Hesped of eulogies. So that's the question of this Braisa. Who was the author of that Braisa called Megillas Tainis? Amru, so they wrote Chananya ben Chizkiya v'Seyoso. The author of Megillas Tainis was Chananya and his chaverim, his colleagues. Shehoyu mechavin es hatzoros, shenigalu mehem. They had a special feeling for the geula, the redemption from various sorrows that the community, that threatened the community. He writes here, based on Rashi Mechavin, he says, Choviv aleim hanes lahazkiro l'shvocho shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omrav Shim Gamliel, af onu mechavin es hatzoros l'shabeach l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hanes kishem matzileinu. Avo ma nase, there were so many situations in which God saved us from tzoros, that Shimbonu Lichtov, if we're going to immortalize, you know, all these dates, Einon HaMaspikim will never be able to write all the dates. I guess he's sort of implying that the whole calendar will be 365 days of holidays. Dover Acher, another reason why Rav Shim Gamliel was opposed to the Megillas Tainis is because Ein Shote Nifga. Okay, now based on various mefarshim, we're going to say that Ein Shote Nifga means Ein Hashote Makir Bipgoim Haboim E Olav. V'kach Anu Einenu Makir Beribu Yanisim Shaosi Monakosh Baruch. Meaning, there's an endless amount of miracles, so we're not going to even make a yontif on those days that we know and we acknowledge, we recognize the miracle, because it would imply that these are the only miracles that God done for us, and therefore we're being pogim, we're undermining all the many, many endless miracles that God did for us. This reminds me of what Rav Salvation used to say about Hakel, Agodol, Agiva, Menorah. Right? The Gemara tells us that there was somebody who wanted to add other words to describe Hashem. So when he finally finished and he exhausted all of his lexicon and all the adjectives that he knew, the Gemara says, Adkan, that's as great as God is. Sometimes it's better not to start than to start and not finish. Dover Acher, another reason why we don't write, you know, these dates with an Isotinus and Hespit is Mishum She'ein B'sar HaMes Margish Be'Izmel, that the body, the corpse of someone who dies doesn't feel the pain of the incision if there would be an incision into the body. And we're also like Mason, we don't feel the sorrows, we're not aware of them, we just sort of go on in life. The Gemara says, Eini, is it really true that the deceased does not feel the cutting into his body? Va'om Rav Yitzchak, kasha rima lemes kemachat bibsar achai, that if the worms crawl in, crawl out, that's so painful to the mess, like a needle going into a live person, into his flesh. There's Jenemar, because Eov says, with regard to a person who's dead and he's already buried, Ach b'soro olav yichov, v'nafsho olav te'ebol, that his flesh is going to suffer pain and his soul is going to lament or mourn. So how can the Brisa say that Eina mes margish b'izmil? And the Gemara says, Eima, let's interpret the Brisa, Ein Besar Hames Shebachai Margish Beizmil. In other words, if a live person has certain dead skin, then he will not feel anything. You know, it's the nerves endings are completely cut off or neutralized. And on those parts of his body where he has no nerve endings, he won't feel the sharpness of the knife. And all that is a mashal to what we said before, that we don't really feel the tzaras, we don't appreciate them. Okay. Omer Rav Yehuda Merav. Baram Zohar Oso Ish Latov. I guess he's saying that, you know, Hanani ben Chizkia was sitting up in the Aliyah, and he's blessed for that. Why? Shel Molehu, if he hadn't done what he did, Hayanignas Sefer Yechezkel, the Chachamim would have put away the book of Yechezkel for all eternity. Why? Shel Hoy Dvarim, and here he has Nirim, his sosrim l'divrei Torah. There are certain things in the book of Yechezkel that look on the surface of it as if they contradict Torah. For example, it says in the 44th chapter of Yechezkel, Kol nevela utrefa min ha'ofim min behema lo yochlu ha'kohanim, which sounds like only Kohanim are prohibited from eating the Veil of Treif, which is not true. The Veil of Treif is also for everyone. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the Haftorah for Parshas Emor. I'm going to have to look that up to see if I'm right. But in any event, The Torah itself says that every Jew is enjoined from eating nevela and treifa. So how could Yechezkel say it's only the Kohen? And that's in chapter 44. The next chapter, 45, is even more perplexing, because Yechezkel says, V'chein ta'ase v'shiva b'chodesh me'ish shoga u'mofti. That sounds like they should bring a korban chatas on the seventh day of Nisan. There's no remez in the Torah. There are also laws that he says about the Kohanim that make no sense. Certain things that apply only to Kohen Gadol. There are many, many problems in reconciling the halachas formulated in Sefer Yechezkel with the Torah itself. But ma'asa, so what did Hanani ben Chizkiah do in order to resolve these contradictions? Helilo shloshmeos garbe shemen v'yoshev v'aliyah u'deroshan. So they brought up to his attic 300 caskets of oil, which would mean that there'd be enough oil to light up the attic, you know, for a while. It could be that some of this oil was also used to prepare food. V'yashav b'aliyah u'drashan, and he sat up in this attic with all the candles, all the lights through the night, and he reconciled all these contradictions. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Menachos on Daf Mem Hei that Kevon shehutcha l'kolim achilas basa chatas ha'of she'ena nishchetes ela nimlekes hoya makom lom shehutcha lehem afchulim b'achilas ofos shelo nishchetu ela nimleku. That what Yechezkel means to say is that even a nevela of an oaf, if the oaf was killed, I don't know what the word I want to use, through malika instead of shchita, you might have a havamina. So the Yechezkel says, no, the Kohanim are enjoined from eating this. There was no doubt in Yechezkel's mind that Yisrael is enjoined from eating nevela sa'ov. But there was a havamina that maybe the Kohanim would be allowed to eat nevela sa'ov. What was the havamina that the Kohen could eat nevela sa'ov? So the answer is, it's hutra. What do you mean by hutra? We already have a heter in the case of chatas sa'ov. Because chatas sa'ov, instead of shchita, requires malika. And that's the sugi menachas daf mem hei. And the Gemara says that once the malika is done, and again, every chatas is eaten, the bus is eaten by Kohanim, that's kochi kochi, right? It's not like an ola, which is kulo nisraf al gabi mizbeach. So it turns out that what for you and I would be nevela, because we're not Kohanim, is for the Kohen considered basar mutar. So basar chatas ha'of, which is ein eshchetes el nimlekes, is mutar l'Kohanim. And that is based on a pasuk in Chumash. Even though for you and I it would be nevela. So there's a havamina to say that the Torah would be matir, not only oaf that's a korban chatos, but even oaf that's chulin without shechita, but rather with malika. That malika is a matir. That's as if to say the Torah gave the Kohanim malika and ofos as a replacement for shechita, and that's for the Kohanim, and it applies sai in the case of chatos and even in the case of chulin. And that's what Yechezkel HaNavi is coming to teach us, that in chulin the Kohanim were also enjoined from eating the vela of an oaf if it was only subject to malika, not to shechita. And the entire heter for achilas oaf al yidei malika is only in a korban chatas. That's when the Kohanim allowed, because the malika as an avoda was established by the Torah as a replacement for shechita, but that's only in the case of a korban chatas, but not in the case of chulin. That's the way Hananya wants to interpret the parasha of Yechezkel. And the historical impact of this is that Hananya was able to convince the Chachamim not to not to put away the Sefer Yechezkel, to be gonies it, because of what it apparently looks like, stiros. So that's what we have here. Okay, now the Mishnah says, Shmonesei Dovar Gozru, on that very day, when the Chachomim, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the Talmidim, went up to Aliyas Hananya, they enacted 18 Gzeros. My Ninu, what are these 18 Gzeros? Disnan. And now we're going to learn a Mishnah in Masechta Zavin. And the balance of our limud today will be to understand this Mishnah in Masechta Zavin. Elu poslim esatruma. The following, what we call maga, of a contact with tuma between someone who's tummy and truma, is going to passel the truma. Now let me just read to you a little bit of an introduction here to this Mishnah in Zavin. He says the following. Now here, what we want to do is get a feeling for what's Mekabel Tuma on a Doraisa level, and what are the Tumas that the Rabbanon instituted, because what we're going to learn in this Mishnah are Tumas the Rabbanon. For example, a person who eats something, a foodstuff, or a liquid that was Mekabel Tuma. We'll talk about a Rishon L'Tuma, Sheni L'Tuma. So what's the din of the Ochel? What's the status of someone who eats these Ochlin? So he says the following. He says, Adam V'Kelim, Ochlin U'Mashkin. So in general, in Tuma, we have these four categories. Shenoga bi echad mi avos hatuma nitma. So when we're talking about tuma doraisa, we're talking about avos hatuma, and one of the avos hatuma came in contact with one of these four categories: adam, kelim, ochlin, or mashkin. Once that happens, we're up to the level of rishon l'tuma. Now, if the rishon l'tuma comes in contact with other foodstuffs, then that foodstuff is Sheni L'Tuma. And if other foodstuff comes up in contact with Sheni L'Tuma, then it becomes Shlishi, and Shlishi becomes Revi. Again, what the dinim are, we'll have to get into. What's the din of a Sheni L'Tuma, of a Shlishi L'Tuma, Revi L'Tuma, which is only in Hegdish, we'll have to get into the details. And he says the following. As far as Chulin are concerned, the food of Chulin is Mekabel Tuma to be a Rishon or a Sheni. Again, a Rishon means it came in contact with one of the Avos HaTumah. And then the Rishon came in contact with something, food, that becomes a Sheni L'Tumah. However, Im Noga Sheni, if any foodstuff comes in contact with the Sheni L'Tumah, Eino Mitame Leosos Shlishi. So the food on the third level is not Shlishi, with the exception of Truma and Hegdish. Ulam, however, Truma, Shenoga V'Sheni, so again, we're not talking about Chulin now, Chulin cannot become a Shlishi, but Truma, Nase Shlishi. Okay, now what happens if Truma, which is a Shlishi, is Tameh, and something is Noga V'Shlishi? So the Truma, which is a Shlishi, does not have the power to be Metame, something to make it a Revi, with the exception of Kodshim. Kodshim Nasim Af Revi. So again, as far as Chulin is concerned, we drop out after Sheni. There's no such thing as a Shlishi. As far as Truma is concerned, there's a Shlishi. And as far as, let's say Truma would come in contact, Truma of a Shlishi would come in contact with other Truma, that would not become a Revi. But if Truma that's a Shlishi comes in contact with Kodshim, then Kodshim becomes a Revi. And then he writes the following. He says, Gozru al kol elu advarim hamenuyim v'mishna lios sheni l'tumah. So the thrust of our Mishnah, of our Gzeira that we're about to learn, is to give a status of Sheni Lutuma, which is only Drabana. So the Sheni Lutuma of our Mishnah that we're about to learn, the Mishnah in Zavin, is the status of a Sheni Lutuma. Of a Sheni Lutuma, which is only Drabana. Umemela, Dinam, now that we establish X, we'll see what the X is as a Sheni Lutuma, then Inogu Betruma, if that Sheni Betruma comes in contact, Sheni Betruma comes in contact with Truma, then as we said before, Truma can become a Shlishi. So that would mean that it would passel the Truma. But here's the subtle point here that we have to emphasize. Although the Truma now becomes a Shlishi, but we have to understand that it's a funny kind of Tuma, this Shlishi in Truma. Why? Because it cannot transfer or convey that Tuma one step further. Eino metame Truma shenogava, right? So you would have said that if the Truma became a Shlishi, now if it comes in contact with other Truma, it should passel the Truma or be metame Truma. The answer is no. Why? He says because the status of the Shlishi in Truma is what he calls psul. It's possible the Truma, but it's not tummy. So the Shlishi is not really tummy. If the Shlishi was tummy, it should have the ability to convey its Truma to the next Truma that comes in contact with it. And he says, Umishum kach, nokta mishnah beloshan psul. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Elu poslim esachum. It doesn't say elu mitamim esachum because we're going to go from sheni to shlishi, but that shlishi is a psul truma, but it's not a tumas truma. In other words, it's not a full fledged tame. It's a psul. Again, we have to figure out what the dinim are, the burden, what do you do with it. But the main point that he's making now at this point is that truma will not convey to a fourth truma a din of psul. It's only a psul in and of itself. Shekol lashon tame, not now in Mishnah because it used the word apostle, but not tame, but whenever it says tame, biuro, it should be understood, shemetame acher. That's what the word tame means. But lashon apostle biuro, when it says apostle, it means who nichshav letame, aval eno metame acher. So in a funny sense, apostle means kid tame. It's not. It's with a chaf adin. It's not a full fledged tame because the word tame indicates that it conveys to him. Now everything that we did until now is a summary of the Rambam's introduction to Seder Taharas. Right, this mission that we're learning is in Seder Taharas in the fifth paragraph of Zavin. The Rambam has an overall introduction to Taharas, and everything that we said is in that introduction. Now he writes the following. Here he's quoting the Torah's Kohanim and the Aruch. He says, Shonet din hatumos hamuvuoros b'mishnah zu mishar tumos do raiso she'ilu v'shar hatumos af im toval osur lechol truma ad ha'erev. So he's pointing out that there's a certain leniency in the tumos that are going to be mentioned here, which are derabanan, in the Mishnah in Zavim, as opposed to Tumah Doraisa. If somebody contracts Tumah Doraisa and he goes to the mikvah, he always has to wait until Harif Shemesh. And that's a Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos. The Elu, but these that are listed here in our Mishnah, which are only Tumas Darabonon, Miyad Liachar Shetoval, Mutul Lechol Betrumi. He doesn't have to wait till Harif Shemesh. So in other words, if a man eats machal tome and he becomes what we call a sheni lutuma, which means that with his maga he will pasel truma, as if the truma were a shlishi, but it's not a shlishi, it's only pasel, all that is a rabbinic invention. And within that context, once he goes to the mikvah, he will no longer pasel truma. He can eat truma immediately. As soon as he goes to the mikvah, he doesn't have to wait till Harif Shemesh. Let's go on with another introduction. So today will be introduction day. So Mirzchem tomorrow we'll get into some more of the nitty gritty details, the machlokas tanoim about ochel machol tameh. But let's go on. He says min haTorah ein ochlin umashkin mitamim misa'odim ha'ochlan. The Torah never recognizes that a person who eats machol, which is tameh, contracts tumah. So again, as we said before, a person who comes in contact with an av hatumah, he contracts tumah. But if he comes in contact with an ochel that became tameh, he does not contract tumah. So that's really interesting, because let's say you had a sheretz that fell, after one of the machshir, but fell on ochel. That ochel becomes a rishon matumah. If somebody eats that ochel, he does not contract tumah on a doraisa level. Why? Because there's only one tumah that the Torah recognizes through achila, that's contracted through achila, and that's called nevelas of tar. So if a person eats a dead bird, that kosher bird that died without shechita and without malika, without shechita, so he becomes tameh at the moment that he swallows it, when it's in the beis ablia, and that tumah of achilas Nevelas of Tahar Bibes Ablia is Metame, not only the Adam but also his begotten. We'll see about Kalim later on. But in any event, it's Metame his begotten. Nevelas Behema, even though that's also called an Avatuma, is Eina Metame's Bachilosa. So let's say if we could imagine a case where somebody stuffed an avelas behema into my mouth, chas v'shalom, right? Then, if I didn't have contact with this nevela, maga, right? But just based on bliya alone, I would not contract tumah, which implies that only in these cases, very rare cases, of a person who eats nevelas of tar based on bliya, that's the only ochel, that's the only achila which generates tumah. All the rest, which we're going to learn now in the Mishnah and Zofim, it's all Terabbanan. With that kula that we mentioned earlier, that it doesn't convey tumah to a shlishi, and if after he goes to the mikveh, he's tar. And he says that this all comes from a braisa in Masechta Nida, on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. The pasuk says, if I'm not mistaken, in Emor, it says, Nevela utrefa lo yochal litome ba. And this extra word, litome ba, is dafka mashe benevela mitame, but eno mitame bachilosa, in the case of nevela's behema, which again, as opposed to oaf, aval nevela's behema she mitame b'mago b'masa, eno mitame bachilosa. So again, ochel is not an avatuma. It can become a rishon tuma when it comes in contact with an avatuma, but it's not metami the person who eats it. And the only exception is nevelas of tar, basically. And the Torah went out of it say l'toma ba to exclude other cases of nevela, like for example nevelas behema. And nevelas behema now becomes, in a sense, paradigmic of all ochlin. The ain adam a kabel tuma, according to the Torah law, elam the av hatuma. And he sends you to the beginning of Bava Kama. Achachomim gozru al ha adam ha ochel rishon v'sheni l'tuma. So you have ochel that came in contact with an av hatuma. That ochel came in contact with other ochel which became a sheni l'tuma. And in these two cases, the Chachamim made a gzera that if somebody eats this Rishon or Sheni Lutuma, then he cannot eat Truma, and if he goes ahead and he touches Truma, he passels the Truma, get Psul but not Tuma. And the Gemara on Daf Yudalit is going to explain why the Chachamim made such a gzera. But again, it's very typical of, we're a little bit familiar with Truma, that, a lot of the gzeras of Tuma were all to protect Truma. Now, v'shir ha'achila, how much is the achila, poselis, sa'odim, ha'ochlam, ya'achilas, truma? lifsol sa truma b'mago hu chichatzi pras. So within a time period which is called kedei achilas pras, he eats a chatzi pras. Hu kishtei beitzim. Okay, that's a gigantic machlokus, exactly what a pras is and what's a chatzi pras. The Rambam Shita is that a chatzi pras is beitza u'mechza. And again, you have to know what kind of beitza, the different types of beitza. That's a whole to do. But in any event, achila is achila, whatever it is. We'll call it achilas shtei beitza. Alnom Rabbeinu Tam bir shagzera hamuvu eres b'mishnasenu eina lesar achilas truma li adam sha'ochal ochlun tmeinu. Shigzerezu nigzera kodem lachem v'himuvu eres b'mesechus yoma sheshiura kibekhatzi pras. I'm like zera muves b'mishnasenu. He lifts all the truma b'mago. So the two different isurim derabanan. One is that a person who eats a rishon or a sheni l'tuma is not allowed to eat truma, and that's one isur, and that has a shear of shtei beitzim of chatzi pras, and that Rabbeinu Tam claims is an old gzeira, that the person who ate rishon or sheni is not allowed to eat truma. Our Mishnah according to Rabbeinu Tam is adding that forget about eating the truma, he's not allowed to touch truma, and if he does so, then he passes the truma. Now, again, how much did he eat? Once again, here Rabbeinu Tam says that our achila in the Mishnah in Zovid is not to be identified with the achila that mitzad gzera was prohibited in a case of a person who ate a rishon or a sheni and then went ahead and ate truma. There the iser of achila's truma is kechatzi pras, a shtei beitzim we'll call it. But here, with regard to passeling the truma, how much does he have to eat in order to passel the truma with his maga? Again, we're not talking about eating the truma. Eating the truma, he has to eat a heck of a lot of the truma in order to violate that isur to gzeira d'rabbanan. But as far as how much he has to eat of an ochel that was either a rishon or sheni, in order so that his maga would pasel truma, magal betruma would pasel the truma, that's already the shir of achila of kol ator kula. That's a kezayis. Whatever constitutes achila, that's what our Mishnah in Zovin is established. Okay, man? So just try to wet our feet a little bit in Hilchos Tumah B'Tahara.